First side starts immediately, and this is tape 2. We continue reading about number 7. There are other similar groups which the Christians mention, one of which is that which happened to be in the village Tuna in Upper Egypt. It is the story of the 7 months. Number 7 in Arabic language of Lisan al-Arab, Arab's tongue. In the Arab tongue dictionary, there is a reference to 7, 70 and 700, as mentioned in the Holy Quran and the Hadith. It was also mentioned that the Arabs take these structures for manifold increase. The term 7 has been mentioned 24 times in the Holy Quran, and the term 70 was mentioned 3 times in the Holy Quran. If thou ask 70 times for their forgiveness, Allah will not forgive them, etc. The parable of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is that of a grain of corn. It groweth 7 years, and each year hath 100 grains. So, the reference to the number does not mean the literary mathematical significance. It rather indicates the limitless manifold increase. In his book, Al-Rihla Al-Hijaziyya, The Hijazi Trip, Labib Al-Batanuni discussed the significance of the tawaf as being 7 times. He reported that, for 7 is the most perfect number according to the mathematicians' views. 7 involves all numerals. Numerals are both odd and even numbers. Even numbers comprise first and second. The numeral 2 is the beginning of the even numbers. The 4 is a second even number. The numeral 3 is the beginning of the odd numbers. 5 is the second odd number or numeral. If the first even number is added to the second odd, or the first odd to the second even, there will be 7, which is perfect number. Such a characteristic cannot be found in any other numerals. That is why 7 is distinguished and separated from 8 by the addition of waw, the Arabic equivalent of and. So it is said in Arabic, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 9, and 10, etc. In the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Kahf, or the Cave, verse 22, some say they were 3, the dog is being the 4th among them. Others say there were 5, the dog being the 6th, doubtfully guessing at the unknown. Yet others say they were 7, the dog being the 8th, etc. This rule of addition is, as previously mentioned, appears only in Arabic. So people use term 7 to exaggerate the number, like celebrate the name of Allah 7 times, send blessings on the Prophet 7 times, go on fasting 7 days, wash the impurity of the dog 7 times, throw the 7 jamrat stones. There are the 7 heavens, the 7 planets, the 7 earths, and the 7 repeated verses. When Jawhar al-Siqilli built Cairo, he provided it with 7 gates. Number 7 is used to denote exaggeration. We say that somebody knows 7 languages, somebody crossed the 7 seas, or he has visited the 7 regions. The Arabs were in the habit of reciting the qualities of some animals into 7. Ibn Samak said, a locust gets a head of a horse, the chest of a lion, the wings of an eagle, the legs of a camel, the tail of a snake, and the belly of a scorpion. When Al-Fadl ibn Sahl recovered from sickness, some people came to see him and congratulated him. He said, there are seven blessings in sickness: the recognition of the importance of good health, purifying of the body, abolition of evil deeds, hoping for reward for patience, supplicating Allah's mercy, making repentance, and doing charity. Ya'qub al-Khuzaymi praised blindness of having seven blessings. These were credibility of opinion, clearness of mind, strength of intuition, high memorization, and the blessing of not looking at the hateful and the abhorred. Abu Ali al-Basir added the eighth blessing, the high reward in the hereafter. Number 7 in Arabic history. The Arabic classical poems, the seven al-Mu'allaqat. Al-Mu'allaqat were among the finest poems ever originated in the pre-Islamic era. Most historians believe that Al-Mu'allaqat were seven poems and were originated by Imru al-Qais, Tarfa, Zuhair, Antara, Amr ibn Kulthum, Labid, and Al-Harith ibn Hilliza. But Abu Zayd al-Qurashi has reported that both Antara and Al-Harith were no more regarded among them and must be replaced by Al-Nabigha and Al-A'sha. Others regarded them as nine originators, and with the addition of Ubayd ibn al-Abras, there would be 10 of them. Most scholars believe that Al-Mu'allaqat were so called because they were stuck on the Kaaba walls, being the house of God, towards which all Muslims turn their faces when performing their daily prayers. The Kaaba is a cube-shaped building of stone. Ibn Abd Rabb reported that the Arabs were so fond of poetry that they selected seven poems from ancient poetry, and these were written by means of golden writing and were stuck to the curtains of the Kaaba. So they were called Mu'allaqat. Ibn Rashiq reported that these poems were called the Goldens, and the first poem being hanged on the Kaaba was that of Umru al-Qais. It was hanged upon one corner of the Kaaba during the pilgrimage season so that most people could watch it. That was the highest pride. Then the poems of other poets were later hanged as well. Ibn Khaldun, in his famous introduction, reported that these poems were only hanged on the corners of the Holy Mosque rather than the Kaaba. Others, like Professor Ahmed al-Hufyin, in his book about the Arab life in the ancient poetry, reported that the story of those poems being hanged was just a fable invented by Ibn al-Kalbi, or even invented by somebody else and attributed to him. Number 7 and 70. In the names of cities. There had been a village called As-Sabayin, meaning 70. It has been reported in Yaqut's Mu'jam al-Buldan, Dictionary of Cities, as being a village near Aleppo, which had been given to the great poet Al-Mutanabbi by the prince Saif al-Dawla. Here is a notice at the bottom of the page. If one gets married to a virgin after a non-virgin wife, one has to remain uninterruptedly 7 days with her. Number 7 in the names of sites. Number 7. Number 7 has been mentioned in connection with some sites which have historical significance. In Algeria, there is a cemetery called the Seven Dais Cemetery, which contained the corpses of seven dais who were killed just one day after taking over each. Adai is the title of the Ottoman ruler of Algeria. Al-Maqrizi reported that the seven domes, which stood as a witness for the seven men from Bani al-Maghribi family who were killed by the Fatimi ruler al-Hakim after the escape of his minister Abil Qasim al-Maghribi. Al-Maqrizi also reported that the seven domes are of the seven virtuous men. It was thought that a visit to these domes would result in the relief of all pains, sadness, and worries, and bring forth all pleasures. And of course, this is shirk. Al-Muwaffaq ibn Uthman reported that Al-Quddai used to persuade people to visit these seven domes. It had been reported that a man came to him complaining of hard times. He advised him to visit these domes, which belong to: number 1, Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Ali ibn Muhammad ibn Sahl ibn al-Sheikh al-Dinawari; number 2, Abdul Rahman Muhammad ibn Ahmed ibn Ishaq ibn Ibrahim al-Baghdadi; 3, Abu Ibrahim Ismail ibn Jazi; number 4, Al-Qadi Bakr ibn Qutayba; number 5, Al-Qadi Al-Mufaddal ibn Fadlallah; number 6, Al-Qadi Abu Bakr Abdul Malik ibn al-Hasan; number 7, Abdul Faid Thunun Thauban ibn Ibrahim al-Misri, the Egyptian. This had been reported as an example of the non-Islamic beliefs which spread among the mob. Ibn Zayyad had made a reference to this in his writings. Among the monuments of ancient Cairo, there were the seven water wheels near the area of Al-Qasr al-Aini. They were built to lift up the Nile water from Fum al-Khalid to the water course which had been built by Sultan al-Nasir Muhammad ibn Qalawun to bring the Nile water to mountain citadel. It was called Majra al-Uyun, meaning the water course of water springs. These seven water wheels have inspired the Egyptian folklore long time ago. They were mentioned in so many popular songs, folklore, which expressed lovers' admiration and amorous hopes. The historian Al-Maqrizi also, in one of his books, reported the House of the Seven Halls, which had been built by the minister Allam ad-Din ibn Zanbur. Ali Mubarak Pasha, a high rank title, in his book reported a dome in the end of a lane in Cairo called Lane of Fatima an-Nabawiya, which had been called the Seven Girls Dome. He also made a reference to the Seven Girls Church in Dohdaira in a street called Darb Riyash, but he did not provide an interpretation for why both the dome and church were so called. Among the famous churches in Alexandria is the Seven Girls Church, which is still there near Al-Manshiya Square, at the beginning of the Seven Girls Street. It was attributed to the seven nuns who were brought to Egypt by a Christian mission as a response to the request of Muhammad Ali Pasha, the ruler of Egypt, on 1824, according to Georgius Salama, so as to construct an institution to help spread the French culture and the Catholic faith. Some people in Egypt, as well as some other Islamic countries, are keen to carry special amulets like a little booklet containing some selected verses from the Holy Quran. These are called the seven protectors. There is also another kind of amulets consisting of just one paper containing some verses pleading other incomprehensible phrases and some drawings of symbols like of swords and snakes. This paper is folded several times in the form of a triangle. This is though to have the ability to put evil away and increase sustenance, as they claim. From an Islamic point of view, this is just a superstition. Among the popular stories in Arabia is a story which tells about seven girls picking up nabaq, a kind of fruit called lotus fruit. Some Sufis would stay in isolation 7 days every year, beginning on the 11th of Muharram, the day which followed the killing of Al-Husayn ibn Ali. This period is called Muharram isolation. Number 70 is to be mentioned when talking about the construction of the famous city of Al-Fayyum in Egypt. It is said that Joseph, the Prophet, peace be upon him, decided to dig a canal as a part of his plan to face the expected famine years. It was dug in 70 days when the Egyptian king saw it, said, "That is the work of 1,000 days, Al-Fayyum." That is why the newly built city to which the canal reached was called Al-Fayyum or Al-Fayyum, which means in Arabic 1,000 days. Near Al-Bahnasa in Al-Minya in Upper Egypt, there is a cemetery which contains the bodies of some of Prophet Muhammad's, peace be upon him, companions and followers. In this place, there had been a big battle fought between the Muslim army and the Byzantine army. Those Prophet's companions were killed in this battle. In Aswan, there is an old cemetery which is called the 77 Devotees. It has been mentioned that it contains the bodies of some of Prophet Muhammad's apostles. Another story would suggest that that cemetery contains the bodies of seven Muslim girls who were killed in a battle between a group of Muslims and their enemies. Those enemies were waiting for the Muslims so as to attack them while praying. The girls gave the Muslims a warning and took part in the battle. Near the cemetery there is a well which is still full of water, good for drinking. In several villages in Lower Egypt, near the mosque, there are several tombs. It is thought that each contains the bodies of seven virtuous people. However, they are anonymous. They are just known by their number, the seven virtuous men. The seven wonders of the world. These are seven famous constructions. Ancient times, these seven wonders included, number one, the first pyramid in Egypt, number two, Alexandria Lighthouse, number three, the Gardens of Babel, number four, Diana Temple. Diana was the Roman goddess of the moon, the woods, the animals, fertility, and woman protectoress. Number five, the Zeus statue. Zeus was the great god of all gods in ancient Greek mythology. Number six, the tomb of Mausolus. Number seven, the Apollo statue in Ehodus in the Aegean Sea. Apollo was the ancient Greek god of light, music, poetry, and all fine arts. It was destroyed by an earthquake in the year 234 A.D. Number 7 in contemporary traditions and folklore. Number 7 plays a significant role in many traditions up till this time, like celebrating the seventh day after wedding and birth. Among the prevailing traditions in the Egyptian society, as well as a number of other societies, is to throw seven grains including wheat, corn, malt, rice, beans, fenugreek, and lupin, with some salt over the heads of the newly married couple, the bride and the groom. The same is done to the mother and her newly born baby on the seventh day of delivery. There is also an amulet to be attached to his dress. This has its origin in old Arab traditions. The Arabs used to cut the hair of the newly born baby on the seventh day and make aqiqah, preparing an animal for food and inviting as many people as possible for a banquet. It has been mentioned that Allah's messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had made aqiqah for the birth of his son Ibrahim on the seventh day, made charity of silver money for the poor, cut his hair and buried it, and named him. It has also been mentioned that he had named him on the day of his birth. At the bottom of this page, a cat has 7 lives, and a woman has 7 cats' lives. Now we go to the footnotes. In the footnotes, when he referred to the ayah from the Quran, the verse, "In the Holy Quran, God exalted, he said, it is he who hath created for you all things that are on earth. Then he turned to and made them into 7 firmaments, and of all things he hath perfect knowledge." This is from Surah Al-Baqarah, or the Heifer, number 29. And the other verse, "And we have made above you 7 tracts, and you are never unmindful of our creation." This is from Surah Al-Mu'minun, or the Believers, number 17. Here, he is commenting on the word tara'iq and others. Tara'iq literally tracts, roads, orbits, or paths. Here it means 7 heavens. The assurance given in the next clause that Allah cares for us and all His creation calls out attention to Allah's goodness, which is further illustrated in the subsequent verses. Ibn Uyayna wrote 7 tracts mean 7 heavens. Still he comments, the author, "Allah's care for His creation is ceaseless." A few examples of His care for our physical well-being are given in verses from number 18 to 22, and for our spiritual well-being in sections 2 to 5. Now, the other verse of the Quran, "Allah is He who created 7 firmaments, and of the earth a similar number. Through the midst of them all descends His command, that ye may know that Allah has power over all things, and that Allah comprehends all things in His knowledge." This is from Surah At-Talaq, or Divorce, number 12. 7 firmaments, literally, they're 7 in number, each one separate from the other. But in all spheres of life and creation, whatever conception we are able to form of them, it is certain that command or law of Allah runs through them all, for His knowledge and power extend throughout all things. Now we go to the next verse. "No want of proportion wilt thou see in the creation of the Most Gracious. So turn thy vision again. Seest thou any flaw?" This is from Surah Al-Mulk, or Dominion. The number is 3. The heavens, as they appear to our sight, seem to be arranged in layers one above another. An ancient astronomy accounted for the motions of the heavenly bodies in an elaborate scheme of spheres. What we are concerned with here is the order and beauty of vast spaces and the marvelous bodies that follow regular laws of motion in those enormous spaces in the visible world. From these we are to form some conception of the vastly greater invisible world for which we want special spiritual vision. The next verse, see you not how Allah has created the seven heavens one above another. This is Surah Nuh or Nuah. The number is 15. And refer to number 1. Go back to number 5, which has just been mentioned of the footnotes. Now, another verse. And have we not built over you the seven firmaments? Surah An-Naba, or the Great News. See number 2 of the footnotes. And from this, we go to another comment of the author after he recalled some of the ayahs and the explanation and the comment on the ayahs. Now we go to his comment on one of the other paragraphs, and he gave it the number 12. The ayah is, he made it rage against them 7 nights and 8 days in succession, so that thou couldst see the whole people eyeing, overthrown in its path, as if they had been roots of hollow palm trees, tumbled down. This is from Surah Al-Haqqah, or The Sure Reality, numbers 6 and 7. The Ad were an unjust people, spoilt by their prosperity. The Prophet Hud preached to them in vain. They were apparently destroyed by a terrible blast of wind. A graphic simile, dead men all lying about like hollow trunks of palm trees with their roots exposed. The Ad were reputed to be of a tall stature. And from this we go to another verse. So when our decree issued, we saved Hud and those who believed with him by special grace from us. We saved them from a severe chastisement. The comment, this is from Surah Hud, the Prophet Hud, the number is 58. A few just men might suffer for the iniquities of the many, but Allah's plan is perfect and eventually saves His own people by special grace if they have faith and trust in Him. And in another verse in the Holy Quran, the king of Egypt said, I do see in a vision 7 fat kine whom 7 lean ones devour, and 7 green ears of corn, and 7 others withered. O ye chiefs, expound to me my vision, if it be that he can interpret visions. This is from Surah Yusuf or Joseph. The number is 43. The Pharaoh is holding a council. His confidential advisor, the cup bearer, is present. The Pharaoh relates his double dream of 7 fat kine being devoured by 7 lean ones, and of 7 fine full green ears of corn, presumably being devoured by 7 dry withered ears. And from this, he goes to another long verse.